Need a shovel.
Just need a shovel.
Hey, how you doing?
Asphalt was over the manhole cover there because the manhole lid flipped over.
I keep asking that. The state requires it. These are. So payroll is a legal level of control and other expenses are legal, and you're the same way. So if we exceed this, because that's a legal level of control, we're going to be cited. And the same with the other expenses.
But what's a legal level of expenses?
Like your secretarial.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the March 4th meeting of Oroville City Council. If you were standing with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to serve the people of Oroville. Thank you for your support for our city, our state, and our country. Thank you always for supplying good people to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Shu.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Espers Jr.
Here.
Hampshire.
Present.
Espers Sr.
Here.
Korsman.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Thank you. Everyone should have received a copy of the minutes from our last meeting on February 18th.
Okay.
Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes? Yes, sir.
I move we approve them as posted.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Larson.
Wilson.
Yes.
Espers Jr.
Yes.
Hampshire.
Yes.
Espers Sr.
Abstain.
Korfman.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Shu.
Yes.
Thank you. We have no public comments scheduled for this evening. We'll move to our standing committee reports. Finance, Mr. Espiras.
Thank you, Mr. President. There is one piece of resolution concerning finance tonight. It's the only legislation tonight, Resolution 819, concerning 2019 final appropriations, and we do have our booklets, electronic or paper. First reading is up tonight, obviously, and next Monday, immediately after the utility board meeting, we will have second reading. We also have a special meeting of council and a workshop to take a closer look at those final appropriations from the original budget and temporary appropriations. And then if all goes well, we have third reading at our next regular council meeting. That would be the 18th of March. And that's all I have this evening. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. We'll move to utilities. Mr. Korfman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Utilities has no report. We're just anxious to hear back from Director Breidinger and Mayor Handwerk out Washington, D.C. That's all.
Thank you. Health and safety, Mr. Espiras.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report for tonight.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. No report tonight.
Okay, thank you. And Transportation, Mr. Shu.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also have no report.
Thank you. Planning, Mr. Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Nothing here, sir.
Okay, continue down the aisle here. Ordinance and Personnel, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Don't mean to surprise you, but no report here.
Thank you. We have no special committee reports this evening. We'll move to our administrative reports.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple items tonight. First of all, our Employee of the Month for March is Cheryl Kirkbride, our law director. And she's from our law department. In fact, she is the entire law department.
One man band.
Now, Cheryl's been our law director since 2012, and she enjoys the various city departments and serving as advisor to city personnel. She was a solicitor for the Village of Smithville for 8 years and is partner at the Krupp Wagner Law Firm and in general practice for 18 years. Also a director of Commercial and Savings Bank, and also serves on the Board of Trustees of the Orville Area Boys and Girls Club and the Wayne County Community Development Foundation and the Wayne County Volunteer Guardianship Association, so she's very busy. Cheryl previously served on boards of the Orville Public Library and the Orville Area Development Foundation. She's also a mentor volunteer with O'Huddle, and Cheryl and John, her husband, have been married for 26 years and have 4 children, and they are, where are you? Ben, Madeline, Stuart, and Elaine. And they are active members of Orville Christian Church, and they also own the inn at Walnut Creek in Holmes County. And her hobbies, with all that extra time that she has, includes marketing and reading and travel. And we'll be having lunch on March 15th. And then also I'd like to mention that Director Breidinger and I did attend the APPA legislative rally last week as members of the AMP board for Mr. Breidinger and OMEA board for myself. We were able this time to see all of our legislative partners. We saw Senator Portman, Senator Brown, and Congressman Gonzalez, and I think had good meetings with all of them. I think they all understand our concerns. I just each time walk away with not sure whether we're going to see much help. They get it. They know where we're coming from. They understand the problems. And I'll let Mr. Breidinger go into more detail if he wants to, but it's just a problem that I don't know if we're going to get solved, at least not to the satisfaction of us as part of the AMP group and OMEA. I do want to thank Director Breidinger for driving. We found out Sunday that our flight was canceled very early for Monday morning because of the windstorm, as many flights were. So instead of waiting until the next day to go, which would have almost made it a worthless trip, because our visits were all on Tuesday, we decided to drive. And he drove all the way down and back. And I don't believe we had one wrong turn, at least not that I know of. Of course, I wouldn't know if it was a wrong turn anyway, because I've never driven there. But he did a very good job. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Well, I'll move to our Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Service Department is busy repairing potholes, doing some work at the cemetery, and despite the weather saying otherwise, preparing for spring ball. So preparing the ball fields. Wheeling and Lake Erie Railroad at the last second asked for some additional minor language into the Pine Street construction engineering plan, which we agreed to do as a result of that. It pushed back the bid opening to this Friday rather than last Friday, so that's why I don't have any news for you on that front. And that's my report for this evening.
Thank you. See no questions jumping out there. Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. We'll move to our Utilities Director, Mr. Breidinger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple things to add to the Mayor's comments. We had basically 3 items that we were focusing on with our elected folks on the Hill. We could have went in with a pretty extensive laundering list, but it's usually good in the time that we have with those folks and some of their legislative aides to kind of keep our points kind of focused on point. And the items that we were looking at this year have been items that have been on our radar for the past several years, and they dealt with the increasingly high transmission costs. Of course, we talk about these every year, and we'll be seeing some of these details during our annual report, but we were able to share with them just how rapidly they've been increasing over the past couple years. To serve as a memory refresher, since 2014, we've seen those transmission costs increase over 200%. Last year alone, we paid roughly $8.5 million in transmission fees, and those fees are passed directly on to our customers. When these fees were originally established in 2006, we paid $250,000, so we've moved from several thousand, hundreds of thousands of dollars into the millions of dollar range, and they escalate double digits almost every year for the past several years. So those are obviously not only big issues for us, but just about every electric utility customer out there that has these transmission fees tagged onto their utility bills. And those are commonplace whether or not you're a municipally owned a system or a co-op or an investor owned. The other item we talked about were the sequestration effects that it's been having on our Build America bonds that we took out for our hydro and our Prairie State projects, and just what those clawbacks have cost us. And since the inception of the two sequestrations right now that are scheduled to continue through 2027, they have cost our customers a little bit over $800,000. If nothing gets done fixing them during the present term, that will increase to about $1 million by 2027. If Congress does not look at any sort of fix over the life of the bonds, our customers will be exposed to in excess of $30 million. So that's real dollars, you know, coming back to our customers on bonds that we as a community and as AMP members stepped up during the recession. They came with a lot of promises attached to them, and basically what we told our elected folks is they broke a lot of promises with us that have caused some pretty noticeable increases on the bills that we're sending out on a monthly basis. We've offered you know, a couple different approaches for them to fix: legislative fix, administrative fixes. Both of those have some pain and anguish and pros and cons, things along that line. And we'll continue to work with them. Again, that's not a subject that's not new to them. Congressman Gonzalez, this certainly was all new stuff to him, being the new guy on the block for just a couple months. The other item we touched on a little bit was pole attachments and some federal relaxing of some state agreed to regulations on that. Federal government has come in there and opened up our poles to these attachments, whereas the state already had some agreements in place. So those additional pole attachments by mainly the telephone companies is causing us a little bit of consternation here. And we'll just kind of see, as the mayor said, how time goes. We'll continue to interact with these folks, emails, letters, certainly any time that we're in Washington. But we do have a lobbying presence that's in Washington that works for AMP, our state association, as well as these issues are also nationwide issues that are National Association also is there lobbying on our behalf. So every time we're there, you know, we stop in and try to remind those folks what's on our mind. You know, keep those relationships up and going, and hopefully, as the mayor said, you know, try to bring about some kind of relief. Although that's tough when you have hundreds of people walking in their offices on a day-to-day basis, and they're not there just to say hi. They generally have something that they're asking for, and they have to look at trying to get these priorities. But, as I've said in many years, if you stop showing up and stop challenging, these folks are assuming that they're doing a great job over there. So we will continue to be there year after year, any other opportunities we have, to make sure we can keep our face in front of that that group that that we all put in there, and try to hold them accountable to some of the things that they've promised us over the years, and just trying to bring those reliefs back to our citizens and customers at the end of the day. Other than that, the balance of the utilities are in pretty quiet shape for the time being. And as Councilman mentioned there, we do have a workshop following the utility board, and we will have all of our department staff personnel there in case there's other questions there that that you need to be having answered next Monday night following the utility board meeting, which will be pretty close to about 7 o'clock. Yeah, that's all I have tonight, sir.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. I remember a few years back when I did get to go to Washington with you and Director Strimlin and the mayor. I think it was maybe 2011 or back during. Now, the Build America bonds, when they sequestered those under the Obama administration, I thought that was at the time a temporary thing. Is that permanent now, or?
They have the choice to extend the provisions within that sequestration. They can add stuff to it. They can take stuff off of it. It is a temporary provision. But you know how some of those temporary things they tend to stick and. We'll see what the budget looks like this year. There was a whole list of items that were on that sequestered list. Ours was just one of a couple dozen items on there. And you know, the big question becomes, if you give a break for that one, then you know you're going to have 20 people stand in line asking for. You know, some relief on the other ones there. So, but you know, the original authors of that that got us on that list to begin with never intended, and that's probably the conversations that you're remembering.
Yeah.
Never intended it for it to be added and extended at the next review period, and you know, we have reached out to those group of legislators and reminded them of that very fact. And well, you know, we're working on it to give us more time. So
doesn't look good though.
It doesn't look good as long as we stop showing up. So we are unfortunately a minority group. In the grand scheme of things, we're as opposed to some of the other entities that are on that list. There's not many of us on there. AMP is the largest issuer of those bonds. Roughly $3.5 billion of those bonds were taken out to help the government, through that process. There were other issuers and. Four or five other states that we are trying to garner some interest in, and they did indicate to us if we could bring more of those other affected parties from other states together within this Congress that, our odds might improve a little bit. Again, no guarantees. We offered a legislative some options, some recommendations for them to follow that have a little bit less political overtones to them. That may be another option there. So you come to their offices with problems. They are also always asking you for possible solutions. So don't ask for something that you don't have some ideas for them to follow up on.
And that legislation is through APPA. As far as offered up legislation.
No, that was through our state association. So we have been working with them and APPA on that. But we're AMPA members are basically taking the lead because we took out half of those bonds that were issued by the federal government. We are the largest holder of those Build America bonds. So it's pretty much our cross to bear. The other members, it didn't amount to. Less than a 25% of the balance of those bonds that were issued nationwide. So we're the big guys on the block. Again, small player in the grand scheme of things, and it's only $3.5 billion. So
thanks.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir.
$30 million, that's spread out among all the ample
Iowa. No, that's us. That's just our exposure over the life of those 35-year bonds that we took out. So from the time that they sequestered those bonds and basically increased the interest rates on them is basically what we're talking about here.
So if that does not get fixed,
Over the next 35 years, we will collectively be paying roughly another $30 million annually. No, I mean, collectively.
So the other utilities paying into Prairie State and those hydrates.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there, I mean, yeah, our share, for example, is, other members of City of Cleveland, City of Piqua have higher percentages of involvement in those projects, and they'd be happy if they only left $30 million on the table. Yeah. So there are some members that have a lot higher stakes in these projects. So this debt service is all prorated out based on your proportional ownership of the hydro projects in Prairie State. Yeah. So we're not a big player in here, but we're not. $30 million is not an insignificant amount of money either.
Anyone else? Thank you, Mr. Brediger.
You're welcome.
Well, I'll move to our finance director, Ms. Stremler.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to offer a few income tax reminders since it is getting to be that time of the year. The filing deadline for your city return is April 15th. You are required to file a city return if you're a resident over the age of 18, or if you're a non-resident who works in Orrville but your employer does not deduct city income tax, you will be required to file. Non-residents who conduct business or own any type of rental property in Orrville, you're required to file a return on that business activity. Retirees do not have to file a return unless you have some form of W-2 income, 1099 income, or any income on a Schedule C. Our tax rate has not changed. It's still 1% of your gross income. There are some changes with regard to net operating loss carryforward that went into effect in 2018, beginning in tax year 2018. Those deductions can affect businesses or if you're self-employed, or if you have any type of rental activity, we would ask that you talk to your tax preparer to determine how you can handle that situation if it's going to affect you. We do have forms available online. They're also in the lobby downstairs in City Hall, and we have forms available at the library. If you have any questions filing the return or need forms mailed to you, feel free to give our tax administrator a call or stop in. He is here Monday through Friday until 4:30 every day through tax season. That's all I have.
Thank you. We'll move to our law director, Mrs. Kirkbright.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
Thank you. My report this evening, I'm going to turn this over to our clerk. She has three items from the Department of Liquor Control.
They've been very busy. We have a request for a transfer from Estrella LLC at 513 North Main, which is the little market there in the Subway Plaza. And that is switching over to Orrville Supermarket LLC. So we can request a hearing. If not, we will just go ahead and send it in. Okay. The next one is from Arriaga Inc. and Patio, which is Que Pasa, and that one is transferring over to Orrville Restaurant Management Inc. and Patio. So again, we can request a hearing or we can send it through. And the third one is a new one for Save-A-Lot, and they're going to be doing business as Orrville Market Inc. Send that one through.
Thank you. That's all I have for this evening. We have no old business coming before us tonight, but we do have new business. Mr. Larson.
Indeed we do. Resolution 819, I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Ms. Barris Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ms. Barris Sr.?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Resolution 819, a resolution to make appropriations for current expenses and other expenditures of the City of Orrville, State of Ohio, during the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2019, and declaring an emergency.
Yes, ma'am, what can you tell us?
I can tell you that the final appropriation information should have been in your iPad packet, or if you requested a printed copy, you should have received that. We'll also post the information online, the City of Orville website, under the Finance Department. We did make some changes from the 2019 budget that we prepared last June. The utilities or the enterprise funds had changes in working capital transfers and also their capital projects. We also made some changes in purchased power, coal, and natural gas due to our change in operations. On the tax-supported side, the major changes were for grants and in the capital improvement fund. Those changes were necessary to support the capital projects that we're anticipating being completed this year. We'll discuss those changes and any other questions you might have next week at our workshop following the utility board meeting. Just to give you some totals, though, the appropriations that are included in your legislation are for a total of $60 million. $44 million is allocated for the Enterprise Fund, $8 million for the General Fund, and also $8 million for the Tax-Supported Fund.
Anyone have any questions now? Okay, we'll hold those questions until next Monday.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Trimlin. That completes our new business for this evening. But we do have another event. We have our Service Department Annual Report. John, are you ready for it?
I'd love to have known your wife's reaction as you were
If you can scoot just a little bit, Cheryl might go.
Oh, sure.
Just a tad.
Seeing everything.
So,
maybe not.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody. My name is John Scott, the superintendent of the Service Department here in Orville, and I'll be giving the 2018 annual report. This first slide here is one of our infamous overpass on May 26th when we had the flood. Just a couple pictures of what it looked like when we started. I believe all of us know what it looked like when it was all said and done. couple hours there. First slide starts with our general information. It starts with Lacey Center, the work we were doing there. We put a new shingle roof on, part of Lacey. The years before, we put a new metal roof on top of it. And the grounds, as you're looking at there, the maintained grounds is actually all the trash runs that we do downtown. The weeding as well, all the city mowing that we have around our building and the grounds we have there. As you look at the training and safety meetings and the hours we have, we are still trying to have two meetings a month. It's actually on our paydays that we have that. Usually 1 week is on equipment, training on that. The other week, and we usually try and do something to do with procedures or some kind of safety issue that we might be having, training like on cold weather, something like that. Sign shop was one of those things we talked about last year. We put in a new sign shop. That's what all these pictures are here that we're looking at. Previous years, if something would happen with a sign, it would be 4 to 6 weeks before we could actually get that specific sign back. There's a lot of work to it. Us drawing it up, sending it to where we would purchase signs from, them sending it back, okaying it, how it looked like, we send it back to them, and then get it, and go from there. 4 to 6 weeks was common to get a sign made. As it is right now, from beginning to end, takes us about 30 minutes, and we can have a new sign up. As you see those there, a couple of them that we have on there, the Welcome to Crown Hill Cemetery, we actually made those as well. We have made a number of those now. I believe there's like four of them, new ones up there. We actually designed our own firefighter parking for the lot next to the fire station over here. So what we're working on. Again, there's a cost to that, as you can tell, but we are actually looking, and within 2 to 3 years, we can pay for that sign shop with what we're doing and going from there. Street maintenance, the street sweeping, as you can see there, we have 324 hours of street sweeping. We often try to do that every Friday through the summertime, Friday early, before everybody gets downtown that starts street sweeping. Again, 324 hours was what we had in that. Next was the traffic and street lights. We had about 280 hours in that, and that is the traffic lights, street lights, security lights, everything like that that's through town. As you scroll down through there, the dirt patcher and the potholes, the infamous topic of that. We had about 450 hours just in the dirt patcher. We had about 200 hours doing potholes. There's two different products there. The dirt patcher is kind of a small chip and seal type system that we use where you put down with a heated oil on the stone itself. Chip and seal is what we would note at potholes. The patching on that, just so you have somewhat of an idea, our pothole patching material is $110 a ton. So you can tell, we really would rather do the dirt patcher and patching the potholes as opposed to the other. Crack seal, as you can tell from that. You see the hours we put in that. Chip and seal is actually one of the jobs that we hire out. Doing that, I can't even tell you how many streets we did last year. Number of parking lots, some streets in the south end. Rex Drive was one that was done. Street repairs, you can see from the pictures there on the right, the infamous sinkhole we had out on High Street right beside the cemetery, and the process we had to do to go down and find out what was causing the sinkhole that we had there on High Street. This is our basin tile process that we have going. We put in 13 basin, worked on 3 tile. It's hard to say, when you start a basin, simple basin is about $1,000. One like this, where you've got concrete and grass and a number of tiles going into it, you're looking at about $5,000 to take it out and put it back in, grass seed, the whole thing. Fuel consumption, pretty much on there. I did break it down. Our unleaded fuel this year, we averaged out at $2.25 a gallon. For unleaded, the diesel fuel averaged out about $2.50 a gallon. Those were up from 2017, where the diesel was $2.06 a gallon, and the unleaded in 2017 was $1.92. Just so you have somewhat of a comparison of what fuel was at. This is our two mechanics that we have down the garage. Vern's on your left, Vince is on your right. As you look at that total maintenance, as you can tell, everything from the service department goes through there. Weed eaters, tobaccos, to everything else that we have, generators, anything. You're looking at about 83 pieces of equipment that the two guys here work on throughout the year. PD, Orbit Police, has about 11 pieces. They're about vehicles, various other things that they have. The fire department has about 18 pieces of equipment and vehicles that go through there. Again, the breakdown of the prices are up there as far as they go, and the total maintenance is about $160,700. Mosquito control, we are pretty much nailing it with the mosquito control at this point. We have done it long enough now. With between our larva sighting and our adulte sighting and the hours that we put into it, we spray the whole town once a week through the summertime and have it down pretty much just where it's almost a routine for us at this point. The herbicide control, again, part of it we're doing, part of it we hire out. We have it on the streets as far as the weed controls go, where they spray curbs and tree pits and stuff like that. The cemetery has it as well. We're trying to keep our cemetery as well as we can. As far as the parks go, we spray the ball fields. Our tree work. As you can tell, looking at the trees, we had the infamous microburst that came through Oroville July 5th, something like that, whatever that was, and the cost that we had we acquired with our infamous microburst last year was kind of one of those things. We had 1,550 regular hours in as far as our tree work went. Last year we planted 30 trees through the downtown. We had one tree planted for Arbor Day. Again, as you look at that sheet there as far as dollar signs and why it's so much more than 2017, it had to do with that microburst that came through and cleaning that whole thing up. Compost Center. Compost Center, we have about 570 hours in it. You can see the maintain the site as far as those go. Just to remind everybody, our Compost Center is open from 7:15 to about 3:15 daily with an hour in the middle for our lunch. It's open from 8:15 basically to noon on Saturdays. And that starts in April and goes through October. Just so everybody understands, the infamous microburst that came last year, we did end up with quite a bit of mulch. And there is a mountain of double ground mulch at the compost center that is free to the residents. You can come and get it. We don't want any businesses to come as per se, but the residents, please come and get it. It's double ground. It's nice mulch. Also want to put in one of those plugs for oil. We will take oil, all the used oil you want to bring us. As you look at it here, had about 592 gallons brought to us. In 2017, we had over 1,000 gallons. So we'll take that oil, we burn it, it saves fuel, the gas, natural gas at Lacey Center. Leaf pickup. Last year, I tried something, it didn't work out real well in 2017, as you can say. We changed it back in 2018, brought it back down to where it was within those limits, that, at least that I liked. We seem to be keeping it. We will try and keep it there. We had about 1,500 hours, thereabouts, in leaves. It pretty well split, as far as you can tell, for the dollar sign there, about $30,000 worth of on the equipment that we use and wages, and the other things were on that, and fuel as far as the remaining part of that $70,000 were. road salt. Last year was a little over 1,000 tons. This year, I can tell you already, it will be 1,200 tons. We have it pretty well on. The last 150 ton of that 1,200 ton is ordered, supposed to be delivered this week. This is at the park. The picture up here is field four. It's the bottom of the park as we look at it. Put up new fence. New concrete on the sides as far as for the players to be able to get into. The benches were moved back there. Quite a bit of upgrade on field four. Pictures on the bottom are the Little League fields. All of our Little League fields, including field four, got new dirt on it. That was split. As per se, the Little League Commission Committee, the Little League itself, paid for about half of it. Orville Firefighters Association paid for part of it, and we paid for part of it. Again, trying to get all the fields looking the same as they do. Ball fields are used, as all of us know, for that week of those 2 weeks of Little League tournaments that come through. We did add a new ADA found at Miser, where you can roll up to it. It is, by all means, ADA compliant. And go from there. Picture of the pool. Part of our maintenance, why the cost is up so much on our maintenance, we now have 18 cameras at the pool area. There's a number of them out in front of the pool. There's one on Miser pointed at the pool, a number of them up in that general direction. As far as we do, they're painted, pointed at the basketball courts, as far as we can have those. Again, that is partially why the maintenance cost is up there. We did hire that out to make sure that that was done, so the cost is there. Again, part of that maintenance itself is the chemicals that we use and all the chemicals that go into our infamous pool. That's about $20,000 worth of chemicals, just so you have somewhat of an idea of what that maintenance cost is. Put in a new diving board, which was part of it. There's also a new backflow device in that we were required to put in to keep the pool open. Green Pavilion, I'd like to thank Ms. Skull for all that she worked that she puts into this. She does put some time into it, by all means. You can see the things we had in there. Again, if you look at the cost between 2017 and 2018, it looks like it's really off, almost off the charts, but it was really about $1,400. Again, those were the cameras that we installed at Green to take care of that. I believe we put four cameras down in there. Again, we hired it out. Up at our cemetery, upper right corners, you can see we had some maintenance work done on the chapel roof, just basically a general maintenance. There was a couple of shingles that did flip. We had them replaced, repaired, new vent on across the top just to keep it going. We had 61 burials this year at the cemetery. Put in 45 new foundations. The chapel itself, the building, we had about 150 hours of work of our own part put into that chapel. As far as the cost goes that you're looking at, the grounds themselves was about 713 hours. We put up new flag lights. We have bought a couple of new crick fronts. Not sure if the mowers got them or somebody threw some of them at it, some of the crick fronts, but there were some of those that were damaged. Trash run itself, reseeding, dirt work, all those things like that go into that grounds work that you're seeing on there.
John, that little guy in the middle there is probably why some people's flowers get eaten.
That is, he probably has a number of trees as well, either that or some of his relatives. They do tend to like a couple of the trees that we have up there as well. And we do have a few deer.
That's cute.
questions. I will give a shout-out to the Smuckers Corporation. These are the volunteers that come and help us every year. They have a group of volunteers that come and help us for Memorial Day to put out the mulch and try and help us make sure that, by all means, that Memorial Day the cemetery looks as well as we can do it. Questions? Mr. Spears.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, John. I got a question that's probably more maybe for Chief Quarterback. I know a couple years ago we had several meetings about putting cameras in the park and around the pool, and we had our share of vandalism and graffiti. Has that helped?
Talking about? Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's really nice to have the cameras and be able to look at stuff. Yeah.
And we have signs up to let everybody know that they are on video as well.
Right.
And it has changed. There have been a number of things that happened at the bottom of the park, and the cameras are there. We can go back on those cameras and find out who caused that damage. So it has worked quite well for us. Again, as more people know that the cameras are there, we're sure it will continue to go on. We are actually looking at putting up a couple more in different areas, just trying to make sure that we have it the best we can there.
Okay. So worth this investment?
Well, I think so.
I think so.
Yeah, I really am glad that we have those.
Yeah.
It's always hard to know what you prevented. That's one of the hard things to look at. But you don't seem to get called out there near as much as drastic vandalisms.
Another question on the used oil that that gets dropped off at the Lacey Center. Mm-hmm. Now, can that be dropped off during closed hours, or do you have to be open to drop it off?
We would appreciate it if you would drop it off, only so we know where it came from, so we can put a name to it.
Sure.
But by all means, if it's one of those things and you're willing, you need to drop it off, if your hours match ours or whatever it is, by all means, you can just drop it off at the building, as long as you don't want your containers back. If you want your containers back, you need to stick around.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Well, for the street maintenance, some of those costs and maybe chip and seal or pothole placement, as we put in new streets, do you see any kind of an offset in continued maintenance deferred from new streets, or is the problem just moving to?
Good question. Let's go back one more to the crack seal program. Our crack seal program is the one that we do. We put quite a bit of time into the crack seal program, and the easiest way to try to explain the crack seal program is it seals the cracks. But if the water can't get into cracks, then it can't create a pothole. So that's the whole infamous reason for our crack seal program. We do put quite a bit of time into that one. If we can continue to do that, then that leaves those potholes, makes the less potholes that we have, as far as that goes. The chip and seal, by all means, the DuraPatch system that we use on that is quite a bit cheaper, as I was saying, than the cold patch that we use. We are looking to continue with the chip and seal program. There's still a number of streets in our south end that are chip and seal, not so many out towards north of Market Street, as per se. Those are the ones that we're looking at. Continue to do that. Director Wheeler is beside us all the way with that. We do have a program, it's called a PCR, it's a pavement condition rating system that we use. Every other year we look at every street. We drive that, either myself or the supervisor does that, rates every street, and that's what we use to deal with the projects that we have, chip and seal, dirt patch, crack seal, whether it's concrete or asphalt. So that kind of does that. Okay, Mr. Larson.
I just wanted to mention, too, that an additional benefit of collecting the oil and using it to heat the building is it keeps it out of the waste stream. It keeps it out of storm sewers and sanitary sewers and the landfill or someone's driveway. Yeah. So I appreciate you doing that. It has a lot of benefits.
Motor oil, vegetable oil, as long as it's oil, we can burn it. Good question.
Scott, let me go back to the chip and seal and the asphalt, just to kind of let these guys know. Chip and seal, we're expecting about 7-8 years of a chip and seal, correct? And asphalt, we're looking at 20 to 25, mm-hmm. correct?
That's probably a stretch. The infamous thing with chip and seal will often heal itself in the summertime.
In the heat.
In the heat. It actually closes itself back up. It doesn't always look so great in the wintertime because it does the very opposite thing, but chip and seal is that quite a bit cheaper than the asphalt, but again, it does not last as long. Asphalt is probably twice as long as the chip and seal.
It is more like 15 years for asphalt.
That's very closer. Yeah, 12, 15, and again, depending on what street it's on, by all means has a whole lot to do with it. As far as the truck traffic, residents, residential street as opposed to Main Street.
And just general maintenance on both types, there's actually less on the asphalt per year than, or every couple years than the chip and seal, you think?
Depends. We're not seeing that always. The asphalt, every couple years, whatever it's going to be, the new asphalt street goes down, and within 2 years it'll have a crack in it, so we end up crack sealing that. As far as the chip and seal goes, again, depending on where it's at and the amount of traffic that's on it, the edges are usually our issue with the chip and seal.
What about the pothole situation? You get more of the chip and seal than you do the asphalt?
Can't say no. If I was looking at it, I would say the asphalt probably ends up with more of the potholes than the chip and seal. Again, a lot of that has to do with the truck traffic or traffic that's on an asphalt street. It's a whole lot more continuous than what's on chip and seal. Again, the chip and seal is more on the residential.
Very, very light traffic.
Yeah. And there, some streets have six houses on it. Another one, you can think of an asphalt street, or whatever, Market Street, you can tell. Okay?
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you.
Service Department's annual report. Thank you, Mr. Scott. It's always informative when you get to see some of those things. Sometimes pictures do help a lot. Anyone have anything for the good of the order this evening? Yes, sir.
Do we adjourn?
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Second, Mr. Lawson.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Aspire Senior?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Lawson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Aspire Junior?
Yes. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending our meeting this evening. We're now adjourned.
Thank you for my board.
Does Uncle Sam doesn't have a torch?
Does he? Whatever you want. You come dressed up like that, you can bring whatever you want. I'll bring in one of those sweaters that fuses.
I'll think about it.
All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.